The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relax. Relax. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
I'm top of the morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Dynamic Bishop Mary Show here on WWDB 860. It's another week, and I'm glad to start it off. For those of you that are driving, stay tuned. For you that are home, please stay tuned. Get some coffee, some tea, and listen to this dynamic show we have for you of not only information, but follow up and follow through. I can't wait to introduce my guests, but we're first going to start off with this message.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Songs written by Carol Antrim and sung by Daryl Coley. He's Preparing Me. Brought back memories. I sang with Carol Antrim for years and the Carol Antrim and Friends concert every May, Lord knows, at Mount Carmel Baptist Church. If you were not there by 2 o'clock, you did not get a seat. And I was happy to be singing in the soprano section with them at that time. So it was good to hear that song. And I'm glad that it's one of the favorite for my guests, of whom I am hippopotamus happy to introduce to you today. One who was beloved to me, one of the first people I met when I became an international honorary member of the greatest sorority in the world. I love my Greek brothers. I love my Greek sisters. But I'm happy to be blue and white, and that is Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated. With me this morning is Ms. Dana Moore, and she is the immediate past president of the Philadelphia Graduate Chapter here of Z5B. Good morning, darling. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. And yourself?
I am good. I am good. Having a little technical problem, but I was binding devils and demons. Telling them they better leave me alone and act like they know. Would you mind just telling my audience a little bit about yourself? And then we'll get to the topic at hand.
Yes, ma'am. As stated, I am the immediate past president of the Philadelphia Graduate Chapter of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated. We are the home and the owners of our founder's house, and that is Arizona right. Cleaver Stemmons, which is located on 19th and Federal, but it is also known as Arizona C. Stemmons Way.
Absolutely. I was there when the street was dedicated, led by State Representative Jordan Harris and our colleague and our sister-in-arms, Sorority Catherine Gilmore Richardson, who was a brand new council member at that time. And it was cold out there, boy. Let me tell you, we all had our furs on, but it was well worth the trip to not only honor her and the street, but also to dedicate the house. And our former past immediate president and CEO, Lord have mercy, please forgive me. That was a slip of the tongue. My head is forward and not backless. But Grand Val was there as well. And I was getting kind of familiar with Z and Zeta Phi Beta, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. So you are absolutely correct. We have a lot to be proud of, particularly when we are housing and taking care of one of our beloved founders. Now, immediately, somebody sent me a text and said, what is Z5B? Z5B is Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated. And we were founded by five illustrious women. I'll let Dana Moore give the elevator pitch, which I'm learning, on its history and how we came to be.
Yes, ma'am. Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated was founded on the campus of Howard University, January the 16th, 1920, by five illustrious women whom we affectionately call our five pearls.
Absolutely. And Howard University, HBCU. Not too long ago, I was there for our induction of another class of Alpha Omega Chapter, which I'm a proud member. And it was just wonderful to see the statues, to see the marker, to be on that campus, to feel the spirit of what happened on that little stroll years ago, which makes our brothers, Phi Beta Sigmas, our brothers are blue and white, and we are the only constitutionally bounded organization between sorority and fraternity. I did remember that. I'm going to get it.
It's okay. We're going to work with you. We're going to make sure you got it. We're going to make sure you represent.
Absolutely. So today we're talking about something that I don't hear a lot about. And I've been in Philadelphia a long time. I'm familiar with couples and mothers in particular who have had this particular experience in their life. And it is something that I'm grateful to be a part of that Zeta Phi Beta Sorority has embraced. Today we're talking about prematurity and infant and maternal health awareness. I'm certain that many in our lives may know of someone who might have had a premature baby, and unfortunately may have lost a child and the trauma. But there are what we need to know and why we need to know it, in particular when it is dealing with the African-American race. There are some tangibles, and then there's some advocacy that needs to be done. And then, of course, there needs to be more than anything else, knowledge and education. And so today we want to bring you up to date on that. So, Soramore, would you please talk about what this is and how Zeta Phi Beta chose to embrace this particular health challenge, particularly for those of us who might have faced it or may be familiar with someone who has had this experience?
Yes. First, we need to establish that Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated and the March of Dimes have had a partnership for over 50 years. What it is significant for the month of November is that we want to highlight the increase and dramatic rise of preterm births in the African American community. And I need to be clear, it's not just the African American community, mm-hmm. it's the Black and Brown and Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, during COVID, what we saw is a spike in multiple births.
Mm.
Now, we all know with COVID, there was a lot of isolation. There was a lot of limitation on what you could do when it came to the medical profession. So to think about these women who are having birth and they're by themselves, but then to have your baby taken because they need to be in incubators or they need their own medical treatment, it can be very traumatic. So in response to this significant response, the ladies of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated specifically highlight World Prematurity Day, which is November the 17th of this year. What you will see specifically in response from the ladies of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, the Philadelphia Graduate Chapter, is there will be several buildings within the city that will be highlighted in purple. And that is the city standing in solidarity with us to bring awareness to this world challenge. And I need to be clear, most people, when they think about March of Dimes, they only think about preterm birth. But we also need to talk about the research that March of Dimes does to understand the cause of some of these preterm births, but also their advocates for these families. Mm. The ladies of the Philadelphia Graduate Chapter have taken it a step further by adopting the NICU of Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. And what we do is do our Seeds of Love during the month of November, where we give donations to the hospital so that they can make packages to give to the families, as well as to assist them with the cost of parking and food as they go back and forth visiting their infants. We were very lucky that during our international convention in 2022, our organization donated $13,000, in which it helped the hospital as they redid their lactation lounge. And we were lucky enough to be participants of the ribbon cutting in September. So we got to see all of the equipment that is necessary as these women try to increase the immune system of their infants. And we got to see several graduates, which was a highlight for us. But as we go into this new winter season, one of the focal points is on vaccination. I just watched Good Morning America this morning, and they were talking about the increase in infants being brought in because of RCV. And when we think about these infants, we have to realize their immune systems are very compromised, if not weak and totally incompetent at this time. So it's important that all of us around us make sure that we're doing to make sure that not only we're healthy, but that they are healthy and that we are preventing any harm, hurt, or danger to them.
Absolutely. I think you spoke and hit on a couple of things, so we'll take them one at a time. First of all, the fact that the March of Dimes has been around, I believe, since 1938 and has done a lot of good work for many who needed resources, education, services, advocacy during a time when this was often shunned, let me say this, by our people. If you didn't carry a baby to full term, there was something wrong with you. particularly for women who might have had the challenge of not only conception, but then holding on and carrying through the end of the term. And I can remember a cousin who was in that particular situation and hearing the older women being not so nice, saying some things that sent her into depression. She eventually gave the child up and just did not live a fully fulfilled life by the guilt that she had felt. And so, in your opinion, how can we change the mindset? Because what happened in the generation before and the generation two goes, there are different things that now have impacted us, and it's not a fault issue. Sometimes it's physiological. I do want to take into account that there are some of us that don't carry ourselves well by some of the behaviors and actions that we take while carrying our children, particularly during the crack epidemic. A lot of babies were born who were addicted. But that aside, how can we help those who might be vulnerable to let them know that it's not a fault issue unless it's intentional action, and that we need to change our mindsets and be sensitive enough to respond to someone who might have gone through this trauma?
That one question alone is very loaded. That one question. And it definitely goes into the mental health aspect.
Yes.
Of everything. As you spoke, past practices, generational history, you know, we did not know what was available to us. We place stigmatisms, traumas, hurts on each other by the word choices that we used. The most important thing is to know, educate yourself and others. Know what is readily available to you. Depending on where you go for your health care, they may not share everything for you. That's the whole purpose of advocacy. And definitely take someone with you. Yes. Sometimes you cannot fight alone. So you have to have someone there to fight with you and for you. And you have to remember, you're not fighting for yourself. You're fighting for this child that you are carrying and now being responsible for. I love the song, "He's Preparing Me," because this is your preparation for the stepping stones to come. So the most important thing is, I would say, education.
Okay.
Secondly, I would say there is nothing wrong with therapy and speaking to someone else.
Absolutely.
All hospitals have a social service department. Reach out and utilize them. That's why they're there. If you don't know, we use Google for everything else. This is the time to use it to your benefit.
That's right. That's right.
If you want a direction from point A to point B, let's get directions on how to save your life and your unborn child's life.
Which brings a point, too, that oftentimes the maternal health for women, and I believe you started off by saying that during the pandemic, a lot of them could not receive the attention in healthcare that they needed. So, of course, babies were premature babies were risen. The premature births increased dramatically during the pandemic. And of course, while we're dealing with COVID, you have on top of that a child who needs specific and special needs. And I can't imagine having given birth during that time. This fear that might have hit many of the mothers who are delivering. But then it's my understanding and some research, there was an increase in maternal death, particularly in our Black and brown communities, where many mothers might have delivered, but they themselves did not survive. How can we how can we, well, let's discuss that for a little bit, because I think sometimes people really don't understand what happens when a child may survive, but the mother does not, and the impact of that on the family.
That's a large emotional toll. That's a huge emotional toll, because there may be some guilt there. Mm. You may find there may be some resentment. Mm. And we say advocacy on the mother's part, but I want to be clear that we did also see several fathers.
Thank you.
At that lactation lounge ribbon cutting, and they were very supportive of their spouses or significant others, just as well as their supportive of their child. So I want to be clear that we do a lot of emphasis on the mothers, but we need to talk about those fathers who are standing there being the men that God called them to be and making sure that they take care of their families. So with birth, there are several aspects. The woman's body takes on a lot and it changes a lot. We heard from Serena Williams how she had to fight about her own health care during this time. As we know, blood clots have been very prevalent. Yes. And we've heard a lot about them during this time. So I'm going to say that for families who lose loved ones, whether it's the infant or the mother, there is a lot for them to carry and handle, and it's important that we deal with our own emotions before we put our emotions on others. That's why I said talking is very important, whether it's your own therapy sessions or join a group therapy, because everyone's situation is not the same.
That's correct.
And while you're going through something, you never know that your story may be just what someone else needs to assist them in what they're going through. We're always so used to keeping whatever happens in the house in the house. But sometimes we have to share our testimony to be a stepping stone and a learning focal point for someone else. So I always tell people my trial may be somebody else's testimony and they can help carry me through.
Wow. I'm loving that, because you are right. Traditionally, we were told, keep it in the house. Don't tell your business. And in particular, the women, like my grandmother didn't really sit down and say to me, hey, girl, this is something you need to watch out for. My mother would say, pray about it and the Lord will lead you. But I needed a little bit more tangibility and realistic conversation. I don't know, as I've come to find out that from later life, that there were some decisions that they made that they were embarrassed for, and they did not want us to think that it was the right thing to do, so they wanted us to stay on the right track by not putting an idea in our head so we would make the same mistake. But generationally, it's going to creep up anyway, because the devil already knows that we can destroy from within, and by not acknowledging it, it can do much more damage. One more thing that I found out that was interesting is that someone sent this to me, and I'm grateful that they did. They said that the United States is on a trajectory of increasingly adverse maternal health outcomes, which are particularly inequitable for pregnant individuals of color. In fact, although the United States spends more on health care than any other country in the world, more than 2 pregnant individuals die during childbirth every day, placing the country's highest in maternal deaths when compared with 49 other countries in the developed world. That speaks
volumes.
And although we don't hear about it from even our own hospitals here in the city of Philadelphia, Temple, Penn, Jefferson, it's daunting that it goes unnoticed primarily, that we take it so lightly, yet there are so many people that are suffering. Not just, as you said, the fathers, but in particular the mothers who experienced the loss, and then others who are hoping that if they survive, so will their babies. Before I go to the break, I wanted to dedicate this show to the children in the Ukraine. I heard on the news this morning, actually, Good Morning America as well, that they don't have electricity in the hospital. And so the premature babies that are in need of oxygen are slowly dying. And it is impacting the medical doctors and nurses who are standing around watching them slowly pass away. They highlighted one particular NICU where there, I think, were 6 or 7 babies, and overnight 3 of them transitioned, and they need the electricity in order to take care of the rest of them, along with those who have contracted RSV. And so here's a double whammy in a war-torn country where innocent children are dying who happen to be born and don't have a chance at life. And so I wanted to take this moment just to dedicate the show to them and help us to be grateful. It's not all perfect, but be grateful that we have some liberties that others do not have, and that we cannot sit back anymore and just be quiet, but we need to be engaged and we need to be advocate for others who don't know how to advocate for themselves. Sora Dana, you said something important, that you should have somebody with you, maybe good cop, bad cop kind of person, you know, where you're not that vocal, but that person, you know, might be your mom, your auntie, your girlfriend, you know, somebody who can go and look at these people and say, excuse me, something's not right here. How can we make it right so that we don't suffer her or us who support her in a traumatic time that needs all of the support it needs? So I wanted to pause for that moment to speak about the children, and we want to pray for all of those babies and all of those children that are just suffering unnecessarily. And it's a sad situation, but I believe that when people say, is God there? Yes. And he knows what the outcome's going to be. And I still yet believe that at the end of the matter, all will be well, even if there is loss. I'm going to take a break at this point, and we're going to come back and talk about our adoption of a NICU and how exciting that is, and then how we can support the March of Dimes, and through not only the adoption of a NICU, but then support the March of Dimes as a whole, in particular for those that are in the greatest need at the most vulnerable time.
In the United States, breast cancer continues to be the most common cancer, and it is the second leading cause of cancer death. In 2023, the American Cancer Society estimates that more than 300,590 new cases of invasive breast cancer and 55,720 new cases of breast cancer will be diagnosed in women in the United States. While there has been an overall 43% decline in breast cancer deaths over the last 3 decades, thanks to gains in awareness, earlier diagnosis, and more effective treatments, there is a persistent mortality gap between Black women and white women. Thanks to improved therapies and early detection, breast cancer is increasingly treatable. Breast cancer screening is the best defense against breast cancer.
Because you're needed and valued, take this moment to love yourself and get your screening today. My love to you from Bishop Mary.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
I love that song. Actually, Michael Jackson spearheaded it along with the great producer Quincy Jones some years ago in efforts to support Africa and then, of course, to support other times. And it's a standard thing, but I love the words because it says, we are the world, we are the children, and we got to do right by them, so that the world will continue to be a better place. And so when I thought about that, I thought how we can better this life for these children that are so vulnerable and yet still support the mothers and fathers and families that love and care for them. I can remember when my twin granddaughters were born and they were premature and just about a pound. And my daughter was so upset and hysterical and providing the emotional support. And my late mother walked into the room and she said, I'm not only praying, but I'm going to do what it need to do to make sure these babies are okay. And on a daily basis, she put them two little babies on her boobs. Oh, excuse me. It's early. I ain't had no coffee yet, y'all. Anyhow, she put them right on her boobs, boy, and she swaddled them. And she was sitting in that rocking chair in the NICU at Temple for hours and hold them and talk to them and hum. And I get my shot when she got tired. It was a fight sometimes. These my babies. And I'm grandmom. She's like, I'm great-grandmom. Don't tell me about my babies. And you know, she was that kind of grandma. And I would do the same, and my daughter as well, and going back and forth every day and paying for parking and getting food and spending endless hours because human touch was so vital for them. Instead of being isolated in an incubator, the doctors and the nurses and the NICU would say it's great for them to heal the heartbeat, to feel the touch, to feel the love. And I'm telling you, 12 to 16 hours on a daily basis between my mom, who was primary, and then my daughter, and then me, We made sure that those babies, those twin girls, made it through. And when one came home and one was able to still be there, we didn't lessen our intensity for her to come home either. And it was a great day. 2.5 months later that they were both in the house. And I can remember seeing them and thinking about them in the medical daycare and the ambulance and the visits and all of the things that came in, but we were committed and my daughter was fully 100% supported. And now they are beautiful twin girls, age 11. They dance, they're top of their class in academics, and they make their Nene so proud. And I'm just grateful. So having traveled this journey, I have a heart and a passion for those particularly who don't have that kind of a support system. So we're grateful to the March of Dimes who provide those groups and other supporters to do it, and want to be so proud and thankful to Zeta Phi Beta for their vision in wanting to not only maintain a relationship, but now to adopt a NICU, a Seeds of Love. So I know you mentioned it a little earlier, Sorab, but if you could tell us how this all evolved and what has happened over the years and what we are also hoping to continue to do on behalf of those in need.
Yes. In 2020, the height and beginning of what we did not know would be COVID. We have several members within our own chapter who have preterm birth. Fortunately, they knew about the March of Dimes, but they also had a strong support system. Mm. So it's important that when you have causes, you get those individuals who know firsthand.
Absolutely.
And can actually testify to the importance and the care and love that they receive. Now, we did not know there would be a COVID. So when we did this just because of own personal experience of several of our members. Mm. I myself have several family members who have preterm birth. Several are adults now. But we talk about and laugh at how there was no such thing as a premature diaper. It was cloth diapers that had to be delivered. And everyone had to learn how to change a cloth
diaper. I know you're right.
Yes. The clothing was very interesting because there was no clothing in stores.
No more.
And Amazon did not exist.
I know, that's right. Oh, Lord, we come a long way.
Yes, we have. We've come a very long way.
That's right.
So out of this own personal experiences and necessity, we reached out to the March of Dimes to find an actual hospital that had a NICU that we could actually partner and work with. We began with just taking donations amongst our chapter members, and we were able to deliver several bins of diapers, wipes, and outfits for the infants to go home in.
Oh, bless you.
Since then, we've extended all of that with yearly donations of items that the university, Jefferson University, specifies that are needed. Last year, we highlighted books. So as the parents and caregivers are there with the infants, they can actually read to assist in the developmental learning. Again, as I stated, when we had our international conference here in Philadelphia, our members thought it not robbery to give monetary donations in which we could actually help the hospital reopened their lactation lounge. We were able to see all of the equipment they were able to purchase, the developmental and occupational items they were able to purchase, and they continue to utilize the money that we donated to assist in the care of their patients. One thing that I definitely want to do is from the bottom of my heart, thank those nurses and doctors that go in and out that unit every day. They think it not robbery to not only care for these infants, but they also care for the families, and they become extended family members. So when they lined the wall with the graduation pictures of all of their infants who were able to go home, mm-hmm. and to see them now as they came back and looked at their pictures and said, "That's me." And we're treating them like superstars, asking for autographs. Can we take your picture? Yes, because they are superstars. From once they came from, they are a true testimony of everything that can be. And that's why we continue to go yearly back to the hospital with our donations to make sure that we can assist our next generation. Mm. We would like to go in and serve as holders to help give the families breaks. However, we all know due to COVID, we want to make sure that we're doing everything to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves and taking care of them and making sure we do that what's best for those immune systems. But yes, we do have our Seeds of Love, which we are currently collecting for. There is a very long website that you can go to see our Amazon wish list. If you would be so kind as to flash our flyer, that would make it so much easier, because we also have a QR code in which you can scan. But I'll give it. It's https://bit.ly/seedsoflovedonationdrive. Or you can also go to our Instagram page, Philly Zetas, which will also have our flyer there. But we will be definitely grateful to use your donations to bless another family. And Archbishop, one thing we do want to say, as you were sharing your story, there has been since COVID not only several preterm births, but several multiple premature births. And as you stated, you could go in and out of the hospital and rotate the visitations. During this time, it's so much harder.
Yes.
To do those visitations and to think about that limitation and isolation. That's why we're so grateful for the staff at the hospital who come in and day out and care for these infants and families.
Absolutely. I think that it's imperative for us when people say to us, you know, there are some organizations that we often tend to talk about but not necessarily support. And I want to give the shout out to all those of you who are listening that, yes, we absolutely want to support St. Jude for children with cancer and families, and that's a whole nother topic. And those families that are battling for their literal lives, but also March of Dimes, because if you're going to give your money to anything, God is going to bless you immensely by giving to the care of someone else. And not because your family member has the need, but because you care about others. And so I want to encourage our listening audience. You know, I've talked about St. Jude every Christmas, give something to them. You know, that's their biggest drive time. And, you know, those commercials coming on at 12:30, 1 o'clock, they just break your heart with the little ones smiling, going through what they need to in order to fight a battle that they did not ask for, but that they are weathering, and we are supporting the family. So now I want to say the same thing. This is right around Thanksgiving time. What a way to be grateful and thankful, by you sending a donation, no matter how big or how small. Doesn't have to be thousands of dollars. If you can, God bless you. But even if it's just $15, $20, $25, $30, that can get somebody some diapers and get someone some outfits. And the babies ought to be able to come home in something that's cute and pretty too. And I know that I had to literally search high and low when the babies were coming home, because they didn't have that 11 years ago. And I had to go to a specialty shop, and it cost a pretty penny. But I wanted my granddaughters to come home looking like they was the cutest thing since sliced bread. And thankfully, because of the care at Temple and some other people who made some crocheted items, some of the old ladies, I don't even think people know how to knit or crochet anymore. I was able to get some of them and get them a little pink and a purple little jacket on top of their little onesie. And they was just as cute as buttons. And I couldn't have been prouder. And I thought about others during this time in which we celebrate this prematurity and infant maternal health awareness. We mentioned this Friday coming. Is it this Friday coming that it is World Prematurity Day observance? We are asking all of you that can and will, please wear purple to show that you are in support of someone you know or someone you don't know. Our children are our greatest asset. And we need to sometimes step up a little bit more for them. We'll fight for education and fight for their rights, but we also have to fight for their lives. And so I would appreciate it if all of you who are working on that day or even in your neighborhood, call your family members, tell everybody if you can't wear purple, that's not your color, get a little ribbon, amen, a little piece of ribbon and a pin and stick it on to show your support for prematurity day observance on this Friday, November the 17th, all day long. And we certainly want to be able to say to the world, we care. We care. Lastly, I want to thank you so much, we heard, for Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, the Beta Delta Zeta chapter, for coming to my house of worship on yesterday as we had our Awareness Day celebration. And it was wonderful. My phone did not stop ringing through the rest of the afternoon and the evening. Quite a few of my members and then family members that they went home and shared with expressed to them that they were so grateful you all came and shared that vital information about March of Dimes and how women can take care of themselves and be an advocate for themselves. And this is not just about prematurity. Can I be clear? This is also about breast cancer. This is also about lung cancer. This is about anything that can attack us. African-American women do not always have an advocate. And while I was on the phone for several hours yesterday, several people were telling me, well, I was in the ER and I was telling them I wasn't feeling right. And nobody was listening. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was there with my daughter when she was pregnant and she almost lost the baby. And it was good to hear that it took somebody almost having to, you know, come out of character, shall I say, because a Black woman's voice is not as embraced or listened to in cardiac and cancer and in birth as it would our counterparts. And I think that we need to make sure that we are advocates for ourselves. And if you cannot be, take a gorilla. I'll be transparent. I was a gorilla when I went with my mom to every single solitary medical appointment she had from the time of her diagnosis of breast cancer until the Lord transitioned. I was that bad guy. I'm sorry. I don't understand. Why are you doing this? How come that? My mother say, Mary, please be polite. No, I'm not being polite. You my mom. And so they not just going to shuffle you along. I had to be that person, and it was certainly intrusive, and I had to, you know, leave the workforce to make sure that I was a primary caregiver to offer that support and that system. But it was necessary, and I believe that if I had not been the watchdog that I was, something more sinister could have occurred, and she could have gone before the Lord intended for her to go. So it is necessary for us to utilize our voice and to do so with strength, to do so with strength, to speak politely but forcefully, particularly when there are two lives at stake. Sora Moore, I'll let you close us out with your last thoughts, your last statements for on behalf of not only BDZ and Zeta, but even personally, of how you can say something encouraging to those that are listening about the importance of this as a whole.
Yes. First and foremost, the Philadelphia Graduate Chapter thanks you and Samaritan Temple for joining in us and allowing us to participate in our house of worship during Prematurity Awareness Month. And please note that all of our chapters across the country will be holding a Prematurity Awareness Month at a house of worship.
Mm.
What I ask your listeners to take away from this is please be encouraged. Please be informed. I encourage you to visit the March of Dimes website, www.marchofdimes.org, and learn and gain additional information about not only premature births, but maternal health and mental health. Be your own advocate. You have a voice. Please use it not only for yourself, but the new life that you're bringing in, or the new family member, whether through blood or the village that you have created. Because I am a firm believer that it takes a village to raise a child. So be its advocate from beginning until the end. There is nothing wrong with you questioning your healthcare provider. That is what they are there for. If you have a question and you do not remember it while you're in that office, write it down. Be prepared at your next visit with everything you need and feel you want to know. There is nothing wrong with it. And more importantly, always remember that you are your brother and sister's keeper. I thank you for having us today, Archie.
I'm so grateful that you are, too. I wanted you to do one more thing and sing a special quote as we end. But I do believe that I might have my sports segment on the line. And if so, I'm going to check with my engineer. And if he is, then I'm going to let my son come on and update us with Philly sports.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, son. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning.
All right. Now he's changing the voice.
Not at all. Not at all.
Would you give us an update on Philly sports? Well, you seemed to have a great night last night with the Sixers.
So, absolutely. So, the Philadelphia Sixers and the Philadelphia Eagles actually are setting some unprecedented territory here, as they both actually have identical records, which is the first time I think that they've been at this point atop both of their respective conferences this late into the season with the same record. So kudos to them both for having such great starts. To that end, the Eagles are also coming off of a bye week. They have a game scheduled this Sunday, Super Bowl rematch versus Kansas City Chiefs, who they played in the Super Bowl and lost to last year, and are looking to continue their winning streak and keep it going as they head into a gauntlet of tough games. The Philadelphia 76ers have been playing well post the James Harden trade, as they have yet to lose a game. And ironically, the Clippers, who Harden got traded to, have yet to win a game. Lastly, Kelly Oubre, who was the small forward, who was a substantial scoring option in this new look offense since the Sixers acquired him in the offseason, is going to be out indefinitely, as he was struck by a vehicle in the city over the weekend and has serious injuries that are going to keep him down for quite a while. So there is going to be an opportunity for some guys to kind of step up. One of the examples you had of that last night was Tyrese Maxey with a career-high 50 points in a big win versus the Pacers. So a lot of guys who they feel maybe hard and held back, like a Tyrese Maxey, are starting to step up and show, hey, you know what, we can match the scoring output that we lost. Will it be sustainable? Will it be something long-term? We don't know. But for right now, in the short term, they're doing very well.
Well, we thank you so much for the sports moment here on WWDB's The Bishop Mary Show. You can get a weekly update by his truly, and give us your call sign, son.
Absolutely. My name is Sports Talk Terry on all social media platforms, and that is Sports Talk Terry, two R's and a Y at the end, and that's on Twitter, Facebook,
Thank you, son. All right.
Bye.
Catch you next week.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. Well, he had to do that live. Amen. He's my oldest, 41, and I got to remind him, help God. But that's what mamas do. And so as we are closing, we're hearing this wonderful song by We Are the World. Ms. Dana, would you mind giving us your favorite quote that keeps you inspired, keeps you moving, and keeps you caring for the world to hear?
Now, you really caught me off guard with that because there are several that I could utilize. I guess what I could use. So I've learned that people will forgive what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. A quote from Dr. Maya Angelou.
And that was the exact same one I was going to close with. But that's great because great minds think alike. We are so grateful that you joined us today. I'm thankful for Sora Dana Moore, the immediate past president of Beta Delta Zeta chapter, Philadelphia graduate chapter of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and our sorority at large, certainly honoring our president and CEO, Dr. Stacey N.C. Grant, and all of her cabinet, our regional directors, our state directors, and all of us in our chapters, sisterhood at large. Thank you for this effort. We certainly hope and pray that you have learned something and that you will then become an advocate and a voice, if not for yourself, then for others. Especially when it's our babies. We love you. We appreciate you. Now until next week for another fine, fierce, and fabulous show with yours truly, the Bishop Mary Show. Remember what I say. If you can't be good, baby, then be careful. And if you can't be careful, then don't do it. Whew, may not be worth it. The cost may be too high. Take care of yourself. Be good and be well. God bless you.
There comes a time when we heed a certain...
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.